Welcome to 2026. I don't know about you, but for almost 56 years, because I'm not yet 56, I'm almost, but I know for 55 years now, I've kind of rolled over and went to sleep, and it turned the next year automatically without my help. How about you? Did anybody have to run a marathon to make it turn over? Like, you know, probably the most memorable would have been the year 2000, from 1999 to year 2000. You remember being awake at midnight just to watch your computer, right? To watch it do flips, and it didn't do anything. It just turned over just like it was supposed to. Well, it's 2026 now, 26 years later now. And you realize that God has not changed his commission for his church since then. He said, go and make disciples. And we are focusing on that this whole entire year. We have been doing the Regenesis program, and I don't think we're ever not going to be focusing on equipping prayerful believers to intentionally make disciples. Can you say that with me? Well, it's not up there, is it? But we'll do it one word at a time. Equipping prayerful believers to intentionally make disciples. What kind of disciples? Disciples who are making disciples. So that when we come to church and we come to Bible study and we have our own quiet time, we have our own the ladies' Bible study that our ladies do on Monday mornings, that's part of equipping our prayerful believers to make disciples. When we do our men's Bible study, which we started last year, we meet together and we're studying Philippians now. It's helping equip prayerful believers. But what if you go to dinner with a friend or you have lunch with someone from work? Is that also part of discipleship? I would say yes. Yeah, well, preacher, we didn't talk about anything heavy, but you talked about life issues, didn't you? And maybe you said, you know, I depend a lot on Jesus in my lifetime, and I take my instruction from God's word. And they may be very interested in why you believe that and how you believe that. And where has it gotten you in this life? You know how, but you seem to have the same problems I do. And yet God has given you a joy. Well, there you go. Now you're into evangelism, discipleship, you're into that. So today, I want to visit a verse of scripture here that's very important to us. Why bother praying? In life, why do we bother praying? What kind of prayers do we get involved in? I remember, okay, so you don't judge me, but like, God, are you real? If you're really there, then help me get a good grade on this final that I'm doing. Now, if you're really real, then I'm going to make a good grade. Yay! I studied really hard because I needed to make that good grade. But I do remember as a child when you have a basketball. I could not play basketball. My coach, he split us up in shirts and skins. And I was skins every time. I'm like, can I just put a shirt on? But no, you're standing there and you're going, God, if you're real, let me make this shot. Wow, I made the shot. God must be real. Let me show my friend. My friend, look, God is real. I'm going to show you. Watch this. God, if you're real, wait just a minute. I'm going to turn around. Watch. God is real. And I'm going to throw it this way, not toward. Watch. God is real. And you didn't make it. God must not be real, right? We put him to that test every time. God says, don't put me to test. Because I'm there with you in the midst of all your tests. But don't put me to the test. Did God really say? I think God really did say. We put him to the test all the time. We think, well, God said do this, but I'm going to do that instead. And he's going to catch me. Why bother praying? What is prayer all about? Now, I'm going to come at it from the basis that God is real. And that God really does bless his people in the work that he has them to do. And this morning, we're going to dive right into Matthew 6 is where we find the Lord's Prayer. But Luke chapter 11, we're going to find it also. Let's read in Luke chapter 11. There's three things I want us to be able to take away from here as we go through the text here. Luke chapter 11, we're going to be reading 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and when you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one on the inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door's already locked, my children are in bed, I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of his friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Thank you that they have asked the question, "Teach us to pray," and help us to learn from this text how you've asked us to pray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things about this why do we bother to pray? And the question is, because God invites us to. God says, "Please pray. Please ask me. Please let's have this conversation." Why bother to pray? Because God says, "Pray. Ask me." We don't do it very often. We like to talk to our friends. We have time for talking to our friends. We have time for our video games. And I love video games. We have time to listen to our music. We'll listen to music, even good Christian music. But, you know, often we have little life lessons that we learn through people's mistakes that they put on the radio. This is my song I wrote about a mistake I made. And we gather information there. We will talk to our moms and dads. If we can, we'll talk to our friends. But we don't make time to talk to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Just not enough time. Why? Why? I would say that sometimes it's because we're kind of ashamed. We don't know enough about him. We haven't studied his word enough to know who he is. We haven't had conversation with him enough to know that it's safe to talk to him. It's safe to talk to him. And so we spend very little time talking to the one person who can do us a world of good. First of all, he asks us to. And when we enter into prayer, what is that going to gain for our own sense of satisfaction and joy? First of all, Jesus modeled prayer for us, right? The disciples were watching Jesus pray. Probably some of the best things mom and dad, grandparents, that your kids and grandkids can catch you doing is praying, is talking to God, seeing that you're reading his word or books about his word. Some of those things, because then they're gonna see that modeled and they're going to say, how do you do that? Well, why do you do that? Boy, they're big on why. And we need to be ready to answer the why. So the disciples noticed he was praying and he was in a certain place. So evidently Jesus went to a place to do his praying. And you know what was interesting is they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us to preach. Or Lord, teach us to have conversation. Or Lord, teach us to evangelize. What did they ask? Teach us to pray. Not teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. It's the most neglected subject in our lives. So we need to pray. And so Jesus began here with when you pray. When you pray, not if you pray. So he's expecting that we will, right? He's waiting for you. I saw this meme with the mom on the phone saying, I waited for your phone call, boy. I was waiting for you, son. You're supposed to call me. I'm waiting. I'm here. So, like, call me always. Call me every day. And that's kind of God saying, call me. Talk to me. Let's have this conversation. And what a beautiful way to do this. Listen, so he says to them, when you pray, say this. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. When we pray, this is how we receive God's supernatural help in our life. When we utilize prayer, we are calling on the creator of the universe, the one who separates oceans to get his work done, the one who will move a mountain in our life to get his work done through us. We're asking for his help in our life. Now, in our dilemmas, yes, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble and we're like, Lord, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? I've made some bad mistakes. We call it repentance. We repent and God comes and he's right there with us. He's always ready to be with us in that. But we're asking for his help. He says this. He says, give us today our daily bread. That is for our physical needs. What do we need today physically? How do we get help for our physical body? And we have a system here in America that a lot of people don't have to worry about their medications. They don't have to worry about surgeries. They don't have to worry about things like that because that's all kind of there. But can you imagine first century people who had no recourse except to just ask for God's help in those things? We're the same way. Don't neglect the prayer. when it comes to dealing with your medications, dealing with any kind of ailment, whatever that is, don't forget that God takes care of our physical needs and helps us in those times. He doesn't always answer it the way we want to, but remember, we're asking Him to help us through that. Not just our physical needs, but He says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Can you imagine the mental stress that relieves us as we get forgiveness and as we give forgiveness? We get help from the one who is the greatest supernatural help for us. So he's saying, ask for forgiveness for the ways that you are disobedient toward Him. And then you're forgiving other people. Boy, that just relieves a lot of us, doesn't it? Forgiving people who have sinned against you. And it's not like you're saying that they're not guilty of it. You're just saying, I'm not going to be the one that's going to chase them down and give them the repercussion. I'm going to let God do that one day. It's also saying that, listen, they didn't hurt me. I'm okay. They didn't sin against me. Sometimes that's it. They didn't really hurt me. Sometimes they do, though, don't they? Sometimes we're stuck with someone who has treated us in a bad way, and it just crushes us. And we say, I know, God, that I got to forgive this person because I got to live my life somehow. Forgive me of my sin in the same way that I'm forgiving this person. And He's right there with you in that. So not only the physical, not only the mental, but it says, lead us not into temptation. This is the moral aspect of our lives. Don't let us be led into temptation. Don't let us be tempted to go against you in any way. And that's going to be... We're under that temptation a lot, aren't we? We're under that temptation. We give in a lot too, and we don't even realize it. And so we're praying that God would help us through this minefield of life that is filled with temptation to go against who God is. Help us to know Your word so well that it is a light to my path and my footsteps, so that I'm in the way that You're guiding me and You're teaching me. And so this is a big, heavy prayer, isn't it? We rely on a lot of things in life to help us through these kinds of things. But we don't rely on God. And He's the only one alive that can help us through that. He's the only God that there is. All the other gods, they don't even exist. Just God Himself. That's His promise, and that's His promise for us. Prayer is depending on Him because we are asking Him to do these for us. We're not performing so that He will. Prayer is if we want spiritual power, we only get that through Him. We only get it through our relationship to Him. And so in 2026, as we focus on trying to do our Regenesis, where we are equipping prayerful believers to intentionally make disciples, let's remember that prayer is the beginning of that, and we start with that. The next thing that I want to talk about here is prayer shows that we belong to God as His children. Listen, He begins the whole prayer with as you're teaching them to pray, He says, say this, Father, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Now, He's not someone you can walk up to. He's not someone who is in a place somewhere that you can walk up to. He's our Father who is in heaven. He's outside of time and space. He's not beholden to anything about his creation except that he has made himself obligated to us. He says, I'm your Father. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? We are invited, we are adopted into the family of God, right along there with Israel and anybody else who will believe in Christ. We are part of that family. And so as Father, he's responsible for us. It's like he's our shepherd. We're the sheep, and the shepherd is responsible for all of us. And so he is the Father, like the sons are responsible to the Father, and the Father's responsible to the sons. So we are his children. Right out of the gate, he's not described as a supreme being. He does not say that you are a God who has created the universe and then left. We are thrown right into relationship with God. He is our Father. You know, Jesus could say, my Father, but we together as a group can say, our Father, because Jesus says, I'm making you brothers and sisters with me. And so, our Father who art in heaven. We don't get to be a lone ranger in Christianity. We don't get to be the one who lives life outside of fellowship with fellow Christians. And y'all do your thing, I'm going to do my thing because God is my Father. You could say that. But he wants you to be in with a group of people who are serving God in that place. Our Father who art in heaven, and hallowed be your name. We don't hallow his name, do we? We use it in all different ways. Seems like the world who least believes in God curses his name the most. They don't even recognize him as creator or as a good being, but they will curse him at every chance they get, right? They just use it. Why? I don't know. But we know that he is our Father, and we're to hallow his name. We don't use it for our own good. We don't use it to make us look good. He is our Father, and his name is hallowed. He starts with Father, and then he tells a story about a father, and the Father gives good gifts. When we ask, seek, and knock, he gives good gifts. He's not just willy-nilly. Listen, prayer is proof that you belong. Children talk to their father. Listen, talk a long time with the Father. Don't just breathe 3 seconds of a prayer. Spend some time with him. I think somebody said, if I'm too busy in my day, then I need to be praying a long time. And you know, sometimes that's driving in traffic and you're praying. Sometimes when you're walking and you're getting your exercise, you are praying. You know, we can do two things at one time. Sometime when you're just stuck, you're sick, and you just have to lay in bed, you're praying, right? Even if you can't talk, you can still pray. Your throat's like all sore or whatever. You can still pray. You can still pray. Nobody can stop you from that. But we just have to take the initiative to pray. And number three, listen. Number three, prayer aligns us with God's bigger purpose. Listen, life is more than just us. And what is my plan? Life is way more than then what are my lifelong plans? I got to get out there and I got to accomplish this, 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 and this. God has a much bigger plan than that. And I want to be found doing what he wants us to do. I want to be found working in his kingdom in the way that he's gifted me. How has he gifted you to work in his kingdom? You know, it's said that when we are saved, when we have trusted Christ as our Savior, He is our Lord now, He gives us a gift. And it works within the church that we're a part of. This gift, it is for us, for the common good, he says in 1 Corinthians. We've been gifted to serve in this church where we are now. Somehow, we find our place in that church. You're not left out. You're not too young. You're never too old. Believe me there, you know people who would be considered a long time on the life scale there that are so useful in God's kingdom work. Grandparents, you play a vital role in the life of your family and in the life of the church. There's no retirement age in Christianity. you don't get to retire. But the retirement benefits are great, right? There's this mansion in the sky, right? We talk about that. But as long as you're here, you're working, you're praying, you're encouraging, you are discipling. The much, much bigger purpose here, he says this, the triple command, you got to ask and it'll be given. You seek, he says, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened. He gives this wonderful little story of a person who's desperate. Their friends have come in, they have nothing to give. I need 3 loaves of bread. Can you give me 3 loaves of bread? Well, where is your loaves of bread? What happened to your loaves? It doesn't say that. Just sometimes we get caught without and we need each other's help. Amen? Sometimes I need 3 loaves of bread. Help me, right? And he's going to the door and he's knocking and he's saying, listen, this sounds silly. But in first century Rome and in first century Judaism, honor, shame was present. And if you didn't have the hospitality to help your friends or your neighbors, that was a mark against you. That was shame. So help me. I've got to save face here, they say. I've got to save face. Can you give me some bread? And I'll be able to serve my neighbor as they need help. And so the story goes, Jesus says, he's not going to get up. He's going to give you every excuse that he can't help you because my kids are in bed, my wife's in bed, I'm in bed. We can't get up and give you bread. Except that you were so audacious that you came to the door and you knocked and you asked. And the neighbor in the story gave, not because they were your friend, but you just gave them a reason to just shut you up. You know, this is loud and he's not leaving and he's asking. And God says, God is so much better than that. God is so much better. Listen, he's never going to turn you away. God's not on a clock. There is no 24-hour period with God. He's not asleep. He's not like Baal in the bathroom somewhere, busy doing something that he doesn't hear your prayer. He's always there. You don't wake up too early in the morning to wake him up. He's always awake. He's like that mama waiting for that phone call. Always ready. There was a time I called my mom. It was like 9 o'clock where she was. And I thought, oh boy, I've called too late. Mama said, no, it ain't ever too late. You just call when you need to. God is never going to say, you caught me at a bad time in a bad place. God is always waiting for you to call. When you pray, it's the best time to do it. Yeah, you could have done it yesterday. Could have saved yourself a lot of problems. But it's never too late when you pray. First of all, you're calling on Him who has the greatest resource for us to do the work that he wants us to do. Now, I'm not saying he's going to let you always make that basketball shot. That was a fluke, wasn't it? Because I never make baskets. But I just happened to make it on that. God didn't make anything happen there. God has resources for the things that you need to do to serve him. And when you need that, you call on Him to do that. Lord, I need patience. And I need it now. He does help. He really does. You need it now? He'll give it to you now, but He's also going to build it into you. Lord, I need a way to share the gospel with my friend. You need that? Listen, I'm gonna guide you to a place. You ever read something in an article that gave you insight into something that you needed? He's there. He will guide you in those things. He's the greatest resource that we have. Next week, we're going to talk about what prayer helps us do, what prayer, how it's effective. We're going to talk about that next week. But this week, we've got to talk about to pray. We actually have to pray. Have you done that? Listen, the first prayer that we pray is usually, "Oh God, help me. I found myself in a bad place." And a good first prayer is, "Lord, be my Savior." Have you done that? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You're never too young. You're never too old. You might be too stubborn. And I would ask you to put that aside. I would ask you to ask God to help you trust Him. Maybe you've been saved for a long time. Maybe you're like me, and when you were 6 years old, you trusted Christ. I had a great Sunday school teacher. My mom and dad helped me understand a lot of things. When I was 6 years old, I trusted Christ. Now, I didn't know what all that meant, but I kept studying. I kept trying to understand how this is going to affect the rest of my life, and I did. But maybe you've kind of left that behind, and you're like, "Yeah, I used to believe. But now, I need help, Lord, to get back on track." Maybe that's a prayer that you're making today. Maybe you're asking God for resources. Maybe you're asking God for help. And we are together as a church family. We're supporting you in things. But you need to pray. Why bother praying? Because God said, pray. And I want to ask you this morning, as we stand together, we're going to sing together, "I surrender all. Lord, I just need you." That's the best place to start. Why bother praying? Because God has commanded us to pray. So let's pray.